Our second reading this evening comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of our Lord. Last Friday, we experienced the new moon. That's the phase of the moon when it's in conjunction with the sun, and so it's completely invisible from the earth. According to Celtic tradition, the new moon was the start of the month, as well as the start of the lunar cycle. The Celtic inhabitants of Gaul performed rituals around the moon's cycle as it waxed or became fuller, because the waxing of the moon was considered to be a positive force. It was during this period that they held major assemblies and gathered healing herbs. This all culminated on the day they thought was the most prosperous, the sixth day of the waxing moon, which happens to be tonight. Now, unfortunately, it's impossible to know exactly when the poem, "The New Moon," that Steve read to you earlier was written. But it's fascinating to me because it was clearly written during a time when Christianity, in the form of Catholicism, was being introduced. The poem begins by mentioning the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then the poet prays to the moon anyway, perhaps in an effort to cover all their bases. Eventually, of course, the Celtic countries embraced Christianity with a vigor that still informs how we worship today. That makes sense to me, because the new moon was the rock to which they once prayed. And now, of course, we worship Jesus Christ, the rock upon which we all stand. In the King James Bible, in both the Old and New Testaments, our God is referred to as the rock over 250 times. We've heard a couple of uses of that term in this evening's scripture readings, and chances are most of us have heard it used before. At first glance, rock seems a rather humble thing to use to describe the Savior of the world, but there's a lot of thought behind it. Rock is stable. It doesn't move. It doesn't waver. It doesn't hesitate. We are fickle creatures. We change our minds. We sometimes change our allegiances. And we absolutely place ourselves on shaky ground when we turn to our own desires instead of following the desires of our Lord. Psalm 40, which is also a song of David, begins with these words, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure." When we stand on God, we are always on solid ground. Rock is also strong. Early tools were made from it, and even today we use it to build houses, roads, and bricks. So too is our God. Psalm 136 says, "With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever." But not all rock is alike, even within specific formations. Sandstone, generally speaking, is porous and soft. When it's old, sandstone becomes strong and dense. However, when it's young, it's weak and crumbles easily. One makes firm, solid bricks, while the other would fall under its own weight. We have to be careful in which we place our faith, which one we can call into action. Jesus reminds us this in the parable of the two builders from his Sermon on the Mount. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who has dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is the living cornerstone that makes all of us living stones in his spiritual house. He is the foundation of our faith, the rock of our strength, and our unwavering Savior, now and for all eternity. I'll leave you with scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 2. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.